Welcome to the Positive Education Podcast with Ash Manuel. As we know, the number one hot topic in the world is mental well-being. Ash has worked with close to 1,000 organisations impacting more than 250,000 people, including schools, sports teams and businesses across 45 countries. Today, Ash is regarded as a global thought leader in positive education. In this podcast, you'll hear stories, information and actionable ideas from positive education and well-being experts. The purpose of the podcast is so that you take away ideas that you can execute in your classroom, across your school, at your sports club and in your organisation, plus tips and tricks that you can apply in your own life.
Hi everyone and welcome to the Positive Education Podcast. I'm Ash Manuel and today I'm talking with Dana Kerford. Dana is a teacher, friendship expert and the founder of You Are Strong, a social and emotional wellbeing program for schools. After starting her career as a fourth grade teacher in Canada, Dana began to recognise the complexity of childhood friendships. Motivated to create cultures of kindness in schools, Dana launched a first of its kind, a friendship program in 2009. Since then, You Are Strong's whole school friendship strategy has improved the social climate in schools globally, connecting over 1 million kids, parents, and teachers with a common language of friendship. Dana is the go-to expert on childhood friendships and has presented at education conferences around the world. Welcome, Dana, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you about my favorite thing, friendships, of course.
Fantastic. Now, Dana, we first met each other in 2017 at the Positive Education Schools Association Conference, the PISA Conference in Sydney at Ravenswood School. And I first learned about your program there. And so can you just tell us a little bit about how the actual program came about? I know that you are from Canada and I believe that's where it started. Can you just tell us how it started and why you started it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was teaching at a private school in Calgary, Alberta, and I basically discovered that I was spending all of my days dealing with friendship drama. I had no idea when I became a teacher that I would really be spending so much time supporting my children with, you know, hurt feelings. And of course, them coming up to me after recess, telling me what happened and feeling left out. And I discovered pretty quickly that my students couldn't learn when they had a friendship issue going on. I saw just how deeply it impacted them, how distracted they were. And then I would go home to what felt like 8 million emails from parents, you know, saying that their child was being bullied and what was I going to do about it? So that was kind of the inspiration, in addition to me really seeing myself in my students. I remember that. I remember being a kid and, you know, having another girl kind of, maybe she rolls her eyes and right away I think, whoa, what was that? Why is she rolling her eyes? Is she mad at me? Does she not like me? So as a very kind of sensitive and emotional child myself, I struggled in friendship and didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to stand up for myself. So it was really kind of those things. And I thought, you know what we need in schools? We need a common language for supporting kids in friendships. I just discovered, and Ash, maybe you've seen this too and felt this when you were a teacher, that we are all kind of just guessing. You know, a child comes up after recess or they're in a group project and they can't agree and they're not getting along. We're all just kind of just fumbling our way through these friendship issues and every teacher's supporting them differently. So yeah, that was it. I decided I need to devote my life to this and help schools create that whole school friendship strategy. So that was almost 13 years ago now. I can't believe it.
That is amazing. I love the story about how it came about, knowing that, or you experienced that in the classroom where you struggled dealing with friendship issues as a teacher and you saw that your students were struggling. And then you thought, well, it might have been the case where you think, well, if I'm struggling with that, other teachers are going to struggle as well. And And then there was an opportunity not only to help your students, but also at your school, but also, as you have done, students and schools right around the world. So well done on that. And that's fantastic. And totally admire that, taking that idea and running with it. And 13 or 14 years later, still going strong. So, well, I didn't mean to say strong, considering your strong program, but working beautifully.
Exactly. No, it really, honestly, it was one of those things in life where you just know that that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And I really felt like as a teacher, there was nothing more important to me than helping and supporting my kids through what was the most important thing to them, which is their friends. And we do know that in schools, when we get friendship right, kids love coming to school.
Yeah.
And of course, during the pandemic, what do you miss most about schools or about school when children were learning at home? It's their friends, you know, so friendship is just the absolute most important thing. And there's lots of ways to support them.
Yeah. And just on that, I know that I totally agree with that. Friendships are so big in schools because it can just affect young, or not only young people, but adults as well, like their whole mental well-being. And how can teachers, because one of the key things about this podcast is really want to give teachers ideas that they can action in the classroom. So with supporting children or young people, whether that's primary school age students or even high school age students, what are some of those things that teachers can do to support those friendships?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, so many things. I would say the first thing is that we need to use language that really clicks with how kids think and learn. So the first thing that I kind of identified was that when it comes to conflict in friendship, we don't have language for that. We hear people call it, you know, a fight with a friend, a misunderstanding, a disagreement, a tiff, like there's all these words or bullying, they call it, right?
Yeah.
So we use the term friendship fire.
Mm.
That term friendship fire absolutely clicks with kids because most kids are very visual learners, and they absolutely understand what will make a friendship fire bigger versus what will make it smaller. Yep. So now we have language. Once we're talking to them, okay, that's a friendship fire. How can we put this fire out? The other tool that we use in our curriculum, so we have our curriculum is called Friendology 101. But my favorite tool for talking to kids about friendship is our friendometer. Mm. And so very simple. It's a visual tool that goes from the green zone to the red zone. It's yellow in the middle. And it helps kids think about and communicate too, how they're feeling in their friendships.
Mm.
So we can use that friendometer in many ways. We can think about, you know, Ash, how are you feeling right now with Dale? Where's your friendship with Dale on the friendometer? You know, and you could say, you know what, it's in the orange zone right now. Okay, well, what can we do to get that friendship back into the green zone? So we teach the children how to put out their friendship fires, but it really, I guess that's my first kind of tip, is that using language and visuals to really talk to kids about how they're feeling is where we need to start.
Excellent. Yeah, that really does make sense. And I guess the next step on for that, so how, for example, if they're on the friendometer.
Yep.
Say if they're in a red zone or even yellow, what's one or two ideas that can help that teachers can use with the students to take them more to the green?
Absolutely. So first of all, sometimes we get into a red zone friendship because of a friendship fire, right? We've had a conflict with a friend. Maybe our friend said something that hurt our feelings. Maybe, you know, my friend snatched my toy and that didn't feel good, whatever it is. So it's a friendship fire. The idea is that we want to put that fire out to get the friendship back into the green zone. So we teach the kids to work their way around something called the friendo cycle. Oh my God, are you loving this?
Absolutely.
You can picture it. Yep. But you can see how we use fun, playful language with the kids, because that's, you know, we got to use kids' language for kids' problems.
Yep.
That's a big part of our program.
And they can identify with it, can't they?
Yeah, they totally get it.
Yep.
So on the friendo cycle, it shows them the steps for putting out their friendship fires. The most important step, of course, is called talking it out. That's where we have a conversation with our friend. And it's really simple. All we do is we retell what happened and explain how it made us feel. So maybe Ash, I say, Ash, remember the other day in class when the teacher asked me to read and I couldn't pronounce that one word and you started laughing? I felt really upset. I kind of felt like you were making fun of me. Now I hear what Ash has to say, right? So the idea is that we talk it out until the fire is out. And a big part of our curriculum is teaching the kids on both sides of that conversation what they say. So Ash, if you said to me, if you responded with, well, what's your problem, Dana? It was funny. Like I was just joking. Then I might say to you, I might say, Ash, do you think that that response would make the friendship fire bigger or smaller?
Yeah.
You see where I'm going here.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We want to make sure that the kids know. And I will say, kids are amazing at this.
Yep.
They really are good. Sometimes, you know, parents and teachers, we think about conflict as something that is very scary. We're like, we actually call it a difficult conversation. That's what adults call conflict, you know, when they have to talk it out. And that's really because we were raised, like our generation, we were raised to avoid it.
Yep. Yes.
You know, often when I ask educators, you know, when you were a child and you encountered tough stuff in your friendships or relationships, what advice were you given? And Ash, can you think of something?
Oh, look, I'm still pretty bad at it. I still avoid it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And so for me as a girl growing up, I was told just ignore her.
Yes.
She's just jealous. The other things that we often hear, you know, just get over it, play with someone else. You know, water off a duck's back, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names, you know, we were raised to avoid conflict.
Yep.
So children are a clean slate in that sense. They have not had this, like, you know, decades of conditioning to avoid.
Yeah.
So they're good at it. They really are. And so when we teach them how to talk it out, so we just have a conversation with our friend. We teach them one-on-one. So we don't have, we wouldn't have a talk it out in a big group.
Yep.
We talk it out one-on-one because what happens when other people are around, you know, they listen in, they get involved. And is that going to make the friendship fire bigger or smaller? So yeah, kids are really good at it. And so the idea is we talk it out. And sometimes in that conversation, we might come up with a deal for next time. Right. Yep. So I might say, you know what, Ash, how about next time when you say you're going to meet me at the basketball court and you can't be there, you know, maybe you let Oliver know. And that way I'm not just standing there waiting for you. Like we come up with the deal. We make a plan for next time, but we talk it out till the fire's all the way out. And where kids often get stuck is they say to their friend, that's okay. Or I forgive you when the fire isn't out yet.
Yes.
Right. You know, maybe their friend said to them, oh, well, sorry about that. And they were like, oh, that's okay. I forgive you. And then I say, would sorry about that put the friendship fire all the way out? You know, so it is really about them. And the visual obviously helps. The other strategy. So obviously, sometimes our friendships end up in the red zone because we've had a conflict. Sometimes they end up there for no real reason other than they just aren't feeling so good anymore.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure you can think about that in your life too. Like you know, sometimes we have these relationships that start off feeling in the green zone. They feel so good. And just as time goes on, they're just not feeling great anymore. And we don't actually know the exact cause. When a friendship is in the red or orange zone, and we've tried to put out that fire, or we don't really know why, but it just feels bad, then we tell the kids to, the advice, I guess, is very similar to what a doctor would say. If you ate something that made you feel very unwell, right? What would a doctor say? You know, eat less of that, right? Or cut back on that in your system. And that's kind of the same for us, is our advice in friendship is when it is in the red or the orange zone and it's not going anywhere, then our advice is to spend less time in that friendship.
That makes a lot of sense. And you're right, like if adults can take on that advice as well.
Totally.
There's some great actionable ideas. Now, I am a massive believer in like these sort of skills, like friendship skills, being grateful skills, empathy skills that can be practiced.
Definitely. Like
we practice skills in a sport. We go to training, we practice the skills, and then when it comes to game time, we execute them. Now, for me, gratitude and kindness and friendships, we can practice it. And so when we do have those issues, we've got the skills to call on. So do you advise that teachers, even though there might not be any notable friendship issues, but actually do a mock-up and practice this situation in the classroom?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. And that was a mistake that I made as a young teacher, was I didn't understand the importance of skills-based programming. So for example, my students might be having an issue, and what I used to do is go find a cute little storybook that would kind of talk about the issue and have a nice moral to the story. And I'd bring my students to my carpet, and I'd read them this beautiful story. We'd talk all about the moral, and the kids would go out at recess and keep doing the same things. So skills-based is key, and they need to practice. And that's why it is a big part of our Friendology curriculum, where the children role play scenarios and they act it out. And that really, the science behind that is very sound, in that we're clearing those kind of neural pathways in the brain so that when the real thing does happen in their lives, they're ready to go. They've got those scripts locked in and memorized, and they've practiced. So yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, and what you've alluded to, and I know that really great work that you're doing with gratitude and in schools, you're in schools all the time, and I love it, is that these skills can be taught, even friend making.
Yep.
Some people are naturally good at making friends. We know that, but not everyone. And these, if you even think about grownups, I bet we all know an adult who's a bit socially awkward, who didn't just figure it out on the playground.
Yeah.
So making friends can be taught, in our curriculum, we have a whole session on friend making, but we teach kids, like, one tip would be the quick question.
Mm.
So everyone, we make sure every kid has one quick question locked in their minds that they can ask someone in that awkward moment where you've met someone new for the first time.
Yep.
And so, and I do this as an adult as well. My quick question is, where did you grow up?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Actually, where did I start? It's interesting because I, in the school holidays, I run a boys program for 8 to 11 year old boys. And one of the things that we actually do, some of them don't know each other, some of them do, but about 50-50. And that's what we do. We do this thing called, I call it confidence in conversation. So
love it.
And it's exactly what you just said, having that little toolkit, whether it's just one question or two questions, ask someone you don't know, and it builds confidence. And then also what that does as that person who initiates that conversation, it makes the other person feel really good as well, that you've taken the time to ask that question. It makes them feel, I guess they belong. So yeah,
absolutely. It's
a really good point about making friends. And I'm glad you share that, because I think that's a really good tip for teachers. Like, some kids might come up to them and say, look, I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something you could try and start asking. Now that might, depending on the context and how it might come about, it might be a bit of a failure, but it's one of those steps in trying to make friends. And as you said, that's one tip, but I'm sure that the program Friendology, there's lots of other
ways
to make friends as well. So
absolutely. Well, and it really is, it's teaching kids the art of conversation. And this idea that a conversation, I mean, one of the things, activities that we do in Friendology is we call it ask and pass. Yep. So a conversation is like a game of catch, right? Where you ask someone a question, they answer it, and then they ask you a question back. It's like throwing a ball back and forth.
Yep.
If I ask you a question and you answer it, but don't ask me a question back, it's like not throwing the ball back, right? Yep. And it's like that game of catch is over.
Yep.
And so really getting kids comfortable with that natural flow. And so having a few questions they can ask, and the whole goal is to then find something in common.
Yeah.
Because when we find that commonality, that game of catch gets so much easier. So when, you know, a child might ask another child, you know, what video game are you playing these days? And, you know, the kid says, I'm really into Among Us. Me too. I love that game. What's your character? You know, and all of a sudden they can have a conversation and they've made that beautiful connection. And that really, you know, in the research is called a high quality connection. And that's really where friendship begins. That's where we plant that seed for a new friendship to grow.
That's amazing. Yeah, they're great tips. And hopefully some teachers can take them on board and apply them in the classroom. For sure. I want to go to the yard duty. Now, when I was teaching.
Yard duty, everyone's favorite.
Oh, and you'd have friendship issues. That's where a lot of friendship issues probably do come up at recess and lunchtime in the schoolyard. And if I was on yard duty and a student might come up to me and they might have been playing soccer or football or whatever it is, any sport, and something might have happened. And they come over to you and complain that somebody said this or did this. And you're thinking in your head, really? Why are you even worried about that? Like, nothing. I'll dismiss it and said, oh, you'd be right. I'm sure it won't happen again. And just sort of left it. But what I realized later on is that is actually a big deal to that person.
Yes, definitely.
Even though it might seem insignificant for you, but for that young person, it's actually a bit of a big deal. So can you talk about how teachers on yard duty can deal with those friendship issues that you might think are insignificant, but it means something to that person?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that, I mean, I'm sure teachers have heard this before, but little things now become big things later in their lives. Yeah. So a teacher who dismisses those little moments of vulnerability, really, where a child is kind of bravely come up and they're seeking support, aren't they? And when a parent or a teacher just dismisses it, that child learns very quickly, well, two things. One, not to go back to that person for advice.
Yes.
Because it wasn't helpful. But they also learn that, or at least feel that parents and teachers aren't helpful. And we don't want to give that message. We want them to absolutely come to us when they need that advice and the support. So here's the power of having a friendship strategy. I will say a whole school friendship strategy. When you've got language, then your teacher. So if for me, if I'm at a UR Strong school and a child comes up after, you know, they're playing soccer at recess, something happens, they come up and they tell me, I'm going to say to them right away, and teachers, we have these scripts locked in too. So I'm going to say, oh, buddy, is that a friendship fire or is that mean on purpose? I'm right away going to ask the kid. The kid now is going to say maybe, I think it's a friendship fire. Yeah, you know what, buddy? It sounds like a friendship fire. What are the steps for putting out a friendship fire? Do you remember? You need to talk it out. So remember, you need to retell the situation, explain how it made you feel, right? You got to talk it out till the fire's out. Okay. Wait for the right time to talk to your friend and you're going to put that fire out. Good for you. I'm so proud of you. You've got this. Okay. Now time to head on in and head to maths class.
Yep.
Right. So I'm coaching them is what I'm doing, right? I'm just quickly coaching them and saying, what do we call that? What are the steps? You can do it. and then I'm changing the subject. So the other thing with changing the subject and not going on and on and on and on is that I'm not going to make that friendship fire bigger, because sometimes teachers do that as well, right? They get a little overly involved.
Yep.
They want all the details, all the evidence. They're going to go interview all the children to find out exactly what happened. Now everybody knows about this friendship fire and they've spread it all around the school. And that negative, that is the science of consequences, really, where they have made it worse for the child. And now that child is less likely to go to them for help as well, because they've made it worse.
Yep.
So that's the idea. And parents do that too, where parents call the other child's parents. And then their son or daughter never go to them about friendship issues ever again, because that made it worse.
Yeah.
So yeah, all we're doing, we're coaching them, we're reminding them the steps, and then we're saying, you've got this.
Yeah, that is so good. Like having those steps for teachers, particularly the whole school, because everyone knows.
Every teacher has the same language. We're going to support them in that exact same way. And then if it's mean on purpose, so that's very different. If it's mean on purpose, and we spend a lot of time making sure kids know the difference.
Yep.
Mean on purpose is if I look at you and I say, Ash, you're a loser.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was definitely on purpose.
Yeah.
So it was intentionally mean, cruel, rude behavior that is designed to hurt someone. So mean on purpose is different than a friendship fire.
Yep.
We teach kids to respond with a quick comeback. So a quick comeback, it's a short statement that we say to the person. It lets them know we're not okay with what they said or did. And we immediately walk away and we report the behavior. So anyway, we have a whole process for that. But if a child came up and said, well, actually, you know, Miss Kerford, I think it was mean on purpose. Then I say, and did you say your quick comeback? No, I'm telling you. Well, why not, buddy? You teach people how to treat you. You need to let them know it's not okay. Let's practice. Do a quick practice, give them a high five, and then say, all right, now let's head into PE. And away you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you came up with like that one line response or comeback, I think that's
what you were.
Quick comeback. How did you come up with that? Because you do see so many different approaches. Because at university, I don't know if it's changed now, but never got taught about how to handle friendship issues or anything like that through the uni. And everyone's so busy at the school, unless you ask another teacher, oh, what's your strategy of how to deal with issues? You don't really learn. So how did you develop your strategy? Because it's with what you described, it's amazing.
You're exactly right. Like when I was learning in university to become a teacher, we didn't learn any of this stuff. Yep. And I realized that I was just resorting back to the advice I was given as a kid. Like, just ignore it. You know, they're just, and then I'd say things like stand up for yourself, but then not actually give the child any practical ways. And they'd be like, well, how? And I'm like, yeah, I'll get back to you on that. I'm not even sure how to do it myself.
Yeah.
It was really about carving out a language and doing a lot of research too. I mean, psychologists call it a preloaded statement.
Yep.
So we feel empowered when we know exactly what to say and exactly what to do. So I was the kid who, you know, when I'd encounter those mean on purpose moments, whether it was, you know, in primary school or high school, I did nothing. You know, I was the kid who walked away and just tried to ignore it. And what I realized is when I do that, what I'm kind of saying with my body language is no problem. You can treat me like that. Right. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not worth it. That's kind of the message I was giving them, which now when I look back on it, of course they kept being mean to me, right? Yeah. So I realized that in schools, saying the whole like, be friends with everyone, you know, that doesn't work. And actually that's really bad advice. Kids should not be friends with everyone. We need to be kind and friendly, but we absolutely need to surround ourselves with people who treat us with respect. And we need to stand up when children are being mean on purpose, because otherwise they will continue to be that way.
Yep.
So that was the idea. And so it needed to be something that kids could say or do that won't get them in trouble with parents or teachers.
Yep.
So that's where, I came up with this idea of a quick comeback. It's a statement, it's short, and it won't get them in trouble. So we wouldn't respond to mean on purpose. Like if you said, Dana, you're a loser. And I said, oh yeah, well, you're a jerk. Well, that's not a quick comeback. Right. Yeah. That would definitely get me in trouble, even though you said something mean on purpose to me first. Mm. Right. So, but if you said, Dana, you're a loser. And I said, stop. And the teacher walked in.
Mm.
I wouldn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
But would the teacher maybe want to investigate? Yeah, that's cool. No problem. Fine by me, because I did nothing wrong.
Mm.
And we want them to investigate.
Yep.
In those moments. So yeah, that's the idea. And so, and I think that's what I was missing as a kid. Like I didn't have any scripts. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do because I was told to just ignore it and I couldn't.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I don't think, I mean, same. I think it's a skill that I definitely wish I learned when I was younger, because now as an adult, I still find it hard to deal with those conflicts. That they come up that often, but when they do, like you just sort of, I just think because I don't have that toolkit.
Right. It's so true. And I mean, conflict really doesn't have to be something that is scary in a relationship. We demonstrate this on the friendo cycle, but when we manage conflict in a really healthy way, it actually makes our relationship stronger because there's so much that we don't share with people because if, you know, for people like us who were raised to avoid it, because we're worried, right? Mm. We're worried that, you know, we'll hurt their feelings or whatever. But, you know, for example, if I was upset because you laughed at something that I said or did, maybe I told you that, you know, I love Justin Bieber and you laughed at me and you said, Dana, that's funny. And I felt like you were making fun of me. Yeah. Well, that's a friendship fire. Mm. And now if I put it out with you and I say, hey, remember when you made fun of me when I was talking about Justin Bieber, you know, I felt like you were making fun of me and I'm actually a really big fan, you know, and now we've put this fire out and you know me better.
Yes.
And I feel closer to you now because now I feel like safe that, you know what, you know this about me, that I'm a believer.
Yeah, very good. Yes. Yeah. Excellent. No. Well, example with beeps. Nah.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I've seen a lot of the friend of meters in schools here in South Australia, and they're always like going and see them. Also, I've seen friendship, I believe they're called friendship ninjas.
Yes.
Now, what are the friendship ninjas? Because I've seen students create these friendship ninjas and I'm 99% sure it comes from You Are Strong.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we call kids friendship ninjas when they're practicing their friendship skills.
Yep.
So, and it really it's just a very fun way to get kids excited about it and into it. But our schools have been having so much fun with the friendship ninja thing, but that's the goal. I mean, the goal is that this idea that we all have of this inner ninja that lives inside of us. Right. And that we tap into that when we need to use those friendship skills, whether it's we're making a new friend, we're having a conversation, we're resolving conflict, putting out a fire. We're learning how to say no. You know, we teach kids how to kindly decline.
Yep.
So we give them scripts for that and they learn how to, you know, how do you say no to someone without hurting their feelings?
Mm, yep.
And that's a skill that, again, a lot of adults don't have. Like I didn't learn that when I was a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or navigating friendships online, like with the older kids, we talk a lot about that, you know, how to chat with their friends online to make sure that they don't spark friendship fires.
Because
it happens.
Oh, definitely. It's with the actual ninja, like when do the students create their own character and they add in like values or how they want to be considered as a friend, or how does it actually work, that process?
Yeah, well, schools have fun with the concept of being a friendship ninja, and they do lots of really kind of cool creative things. So yeah, I've definitely seen teachers who get their students to create their own ninja, and they kind of like decide all the values that represent the ultimate friend.
Yes.
Because that's kind of what a friendship ninja is. They're kind of the ultimate friend, right? They're really good at putting out their friendship fires. They're really good at making friends. So yeah. And sometimes our schools will have like a day of friendship where the kids actually come to school dressed as friendship ninjas.
Yeah.
Very cool. We've had friendship ninja teachers do friendship ninja assemblies where even the teachers dress up as friendship ninjas and they role play and act out putting out friendship fires to kind of demonstrate for the kids.
That's a great way. Yeah, for sure.
We also have a friendship journal. And so these are our school diaries.
Yep.
And there's lots of really fun, cool activities in there. And the idea behind those friendship journals is that it's a bridge between school and home. Mm. So that we're making sure that not only are the teachers supporting the kids in a consistent way, but so are the parents.
Yep.
And so making sure that they're part of that team. And yeah, so the friendship journals have lots of cool activities for around the ninjas too.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's a great concept, and I know that all young people can certainly relate to that ninja, particularly the popularity of Ninja Warrior and things.
Yeah, love it. Well, yeah, and I always say to schools during our teacher training, I'm like, you can have fun with the whole ninja concept and play it up, but if you're teaching like year 6, year 7, and you're like, oh, my students are so not, they would not be into that, would offend them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to talk about the ninja thing.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the art of teaching, right? Exactly. And that's where we depend on the teachers to know their students and their context and their community so well that they can bring any sort of curriculum to life in a way that's meaningful. And that really is the job of the teacher.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And my personal belief is that technically bullying shouldn't exist now.
Totally.
Because of empathy. So I don't know anyone who likes to be bullied.
Right.
So one of the key things that I like to talk about when I go and visit schools, whether it doesn't matter how old they are, even teachers, is the empathy thing. So putting yourself in other people's shoes is a pretty bad way to describe empathy. But if we put ourselves in the shoes of other people in our class, friendships, then if we teach them to practice, well, if I'm going to say that, if somebody said that to me, I probably wouldn't like it. So I won't say it. Now that's easy for me to say now, but in that heat of the moment, sometimes we say those things or do those things that either a split second straight away we regret, or maybe the next day we regret, and well, I wish I didn't do that. So how do you see empathy in fitting in with friendships?
Oh man, I think it's everything, right? Empathy to me is the combination of self-awareness and social awareness.
Yep.
It's that beautiful marriage of those two things where you're so self-aware, but you're also so aware socially too.
Yeah.
And you really can put yourself in someone else's shoes. I think for children, I mean, absolutely what you said, like in the heat of the moment, sometimes we mess up. In the heat of the moment, we are sometimes so overcome with that big emotion, whether it's anger or frustration or annoyance, whatever it is that's going on. And so that's where children can learn to be self-aware and recognize, whoa, like a balloon, I am blowing up, right? And it's getting, and if I don't let some air out, I'm going to pop. And that's where we can, at a very young age, teach children how to regulate their emotions. and how we can teach them how to step one, recognize that I am getting angry and I'm getting upset. And step two, take steps and action to calm myself down. Because if I don't, then I might say or do something I shouldn't in my friendship. And I don't want to do that because I want friends, right? Yeah. And I really care about these people. So yeah, I mean, it is the other piece too, Ash. I mean, it's empathy for other people, but it's also this element of self-compassion.
Yep.
And so, and that's why our Friendology curriculum, the very first session is called Inner Ninja. And Inner Ninja is all about self-compassion. Because in order for us to be a good friend to other people, we have to learn how to treat ourselves like a best friend. And that is one of the ways, is that we recognize that, you know what, this game is getting really intense and I'm getting really annoyed and he cheated and I can't believe and I'm getting mad and I feel myself. And what am I going to do in that moment?
Yeah.
And that is an act of self-compassion, catching myself before I, react in a way that I shouldn't. So, and again, teaching kids scripts.
Yep.
So what is my script in that moment? What am I going to say? I might say, whoa, I need to step out of this game for a moment and go get a drink of water.
Yeah.
Right? Something so simple like that. It could be that. It could be like, I need to push pause, timeout. You know, kids always do that timeout sign.
Yep.
Yes. Right?
Yep.
Pause, game off, time, what am I going to do in that moment? I need a plan for myself. And that is, it really is a beautiful act of self-respect, self-compassion, and friendship for yourself.
Yep.
And and that really is such an important part, Ash. Yep. And I know you do such a good job teaching all these skills in schools too. And I think it's so, so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the terminology that you just used was the self-compassion. And what was the other one?
Self-compassion, self-respect.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh yeah. And I mean, emotional regulation, these are all just, part of it. It's all about treating yourself like a friend.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things, and I can relate to what you're saying so well, because that the self-awareness thing is a massive thing. When I go in to talk to young people in schools, talk about self-awareness. What is self-awareness? Well, particularly from the social, the emotional regulation or social skills, is that understanding how you're feeling. So if you feel your blood's boiling, as I like the description about like a balloon blowing up.
Yeah.
You can feel that. Okay, that's self-awareness. And then the second step is ownership. And that's when you said before about having those skills, that script.
Yeah.
So in the day. No matter if you're a young person or adult, the only person who can improve our mood or change that situation is yourself. Yeah, your teachers can help you. You've got some great scripts, but you're the only person who can actually implement them.
Absolutely.
But we need to, as educators, we need to actually teach the young people these skills so they can
practice. For sure.
And that's
so true. Yeah. And you know what, kids, actually, once you point it out to them and you even talk to them about this, like how many of you have ever been playing a game where you felt like you were getting really frustrated and you weren't enjoying the game anymore, right? You get asked kids that, I mean, they all raise their hand. They know that moment. They know what that feels like.
Yes.
And so this idea, I mean, sometimes we talk about crossing the line, like don't cross the line. When we cross the line, and what I'm meaning is we continue to play when we are extremely agitated, angry, that balloon is almost at the blowing up point. We risk getting into major friendship fires. We risk saying or doing something we shouldn't, like being mean on purpose. We risk, our friend maybe getting physical, or we're getting physical with our friend. So, I mean, that is high risk. Those are things we don't want to risk, right? So they need to understand that it is so worth it for them to A, recognize, and B, take action.
Absolutely. And that's key, action. That's one thing. I think it doesn't matter what we're doing in life. If we whatever it is, you've got to take action to actually make it happen and improve a situation or set goals. Well, they're good to have goals, but they mean nothing unless you take action to achieve them.
Totally. I was talking to a girl just yesterday, a year 7 girl who was having major issues in a friendship. And I had to remind her, like, the only person who can change this is you. You know, your parents 100%. Can't do it. Your teachers can't. You are the only one, right? And sometimes with kids, we get them to really play it out. Like, let's play this out. Let's imagine if you continue down this track and in this friendship and you keep letting this person treat you in this way, where do we end up? What happens, right? So they need to recognize that if they don't take action, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of worst case scenario situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, action's a huge thing with anything we do, and particularly around friendships and the emotional regulation skills. And it's all good to know what it means in theory, but do it.
I think the message too that we can give kids, like, it doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
You choose something that feels right for you. What's your exit strategy when you're in a game and the game is getting too intense? What's your exit strategy? So one kid might choose, you know, for them, it feels right to say their script is going to be, I just have to go get a drink of water. You know, that feels right for one kid.
Yeah.
But we all choose our own. It doesn't have to be big and complicated, but the idea is that we've chosen one in advance. It's locked in, it's ready to go. And the next time we're playing that game, we've got a plan.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. Well, Dana, this has been a fantastic conversation. I think we might leave it there for now, because this has been a lot of good information. And I think there's a lot of actionable ideas that teachers can take away and apply. And I reckon that if we keep going, we might overwhelm.
Oh, exactly. We could talk about this. We could go on and on.
I know. Yeah, very passionate people here. So, where can people find out a bit more about You Are Strong and your good self?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, teachers can go to our website. So it's youarestrong.com. And I would definitely recommend that teachers take advantage of the 14-day trial. It's a free trial, but it basically unlocks our curriculum, and we have hundreds of resources to support teachers and parents in kids' friendships. So we also have free membership for families, for parents as well, including, you know, a language of friendship video series for them. But yeah, just pop to our website and follow me on social too, because I research this topic all the time. It is it's my heart and soul for sure. And so I love sharing really practical strategies to support kids. I am a teacher, and I'm all about the practical strategies that we can use in the classroom tomorrow. So I love sharing that stuff.
Brilliant. Nice. I definitely agree with that, and on the same page. Now, that is that you are.
Letter U, letter R, just like the kids text it, you know, like kids these days, we're following that strategy. So letter cool. U, letter R, strong.com. And even if you just Googled You Are Strong or Friendology or My Name Dana Kerford, you'll find us.
Excellent. Definitely advise or recommend take on that 14-day free trial. And if any parents that are listening, have a go on the website and grab some resources as well. Well, thank you so much, Dana. Really appreciate your time and all the actionable items and activities that you've given our listeners today. Thank you very much.
Oh, and thanks for having me. And thanks to you as well for all the amazing work you're doing in schools. I just so respect that you're out there in the schools working with the kids, empowering them. And so, keep going. Love it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.